To another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that would like to thank the Academy for recognizing our outstanding achievements in tomfoolery. Part one this week, we talk about the Oscars, Dominion, Joey Chu, and the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So get that wrap-up music ready, because this speech is about to get drawn out.
I just have one more thing to say.
This episode is brought to you by Baron Fig. Find out more at mofonepodcast.com/Baron Fig. The M of One podcast is excited to partner with Baron Fig, maker of the best notebooks and writing tools in the world. Baron Fig is all about the thinker, the people that create and inspire those around them, and all of their products are a result of community feedback. You will not find a better notebook than their flagship Confidant, and once you use it, you'll be hooked. Head over to mofonepodcast.com/Baron Fig to learn more and get yours today. We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Patrick, why don't you let Luke start?
Okay. this week, it's been all about TV, and one movie. today was President's Day. I took the boys to see Sing. Have you guys seen it yet?
No. Zero desire to see that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Literally zero. Jared Mariamo would know, not a big fan of animation.
Okay.
There's two things. One of them is animation. Go on.
Okay. It's a great movie. It's good. It's animated. It's about a singing competition, and it's more importantly about being true to yourself and finding what you love to do and doing it and overcoming fear. So it's a good movie.
Now, did you see the Lego film yet?
No. No desire.
The new one. Okay. Okay, yeah, so...
You're full of crap.
No, I really don't care about it. It doesn't, like... I don't
Are
like
you
that
serious?
I don't like that Batman character. I just don't like it.
So I was... You know from my review I did, I believe last week, that I wasn't, like, necessarily overwhelmingly positive. I was positive... But I was very impressed with how they handled, like, the moral of the story. Like, it was a very, they took some really big topics and really boiled them down into, like, you know, explain it like I'm five type of way.
Sure.
So, same thing with Sing. Like, was it a pretty complex set, or was it, like, pretty basic what you would expect from this type of film, or?
No, I mean, it's pretty, like, straightforward. Like almost a kind of explaining like the moral of the story, if you will. Let me be clear. I had no desire to see this film either, but I took my kids because they wanted to see it. And it actually turned out that it was better than I thought it was going to be. I'm sure the Lego movie will be that way too, but I just have no desire to see it. And right now, Milo's the only one that wants to see that. So until we have time for me and him to go see it, I won't be seeing it.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped that I don't have kids just so I don't have to see animated films right now.
So, yeah, I mean, if you have kids and they want to see Sing, take them because it's not terrible. But other than that, I have been watching Taboo. Have you guys started watching that yet? It's the Tom Hardy show.
Yes.
Okay. So are you caught up?
No, I'm maybe... Two episodes in?
Okay. I'm like four.
How many episodes are there?
I think there's seven right now. I think I'm four in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I was recording them. Apparently I'm not.
Guess not.
Okay.
I know I've watched four. So it's good. It's dark. It's not as creepy
as the commercial would say that it is.
As the previews let on. Like, yeah. I thought it was going to be more like a... what's the show that you reviewed? not Peaky Blinders.
The other one. Yeah. It's the, I would know it if you weren't asking me. Penny Dreadful.
Yes, Penny. I thought it was going to be more like that. More of like that dark kind of. It just feels a little bit like a period piece. And then this guy is just he has a very strange past that is slowly unfolding, and he doesn't take any crap from anybody. That's kind of what it feels like right now. And there's like some mysticism thrown in. It's not even as creepy or as like magical as Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell that we talked about like weeks ago. But it's good. Like I don't dislike it. It's just, I would say if you're trying to watch something, you know, Taboo, it's the name of the show, as like, you know, kind of crazy and mystical and a little off-putting, it hasn't quite gotten there yet for me.
Well, I think the biggest issue with the show, not the biggest issue with the show, like the reason I think it's called Taboo is you find out at the very beginning of the first episode, the main character who is played by
Tom Hardy
is in love with his sister.
Right. But I think that's taboo, you know. But I don't think that that's a main part of the story, because as I've been, you know, as you watch more, that's kind of an afterthought. And so that's what seems weird to me. But yeah, so if you're watching it, let us know what you think. If you're not watching it, give it a watch and then tell us what you think. And then this last thing for the week, Milo and I started watching Troll Hunters. That has, it's gotten a lot of talk in our Slack channel. It's the, Guillermo del Toro, animated show on Netflix. It is really cool, really fun. It's the idea, this kid, becomes this guardian of the trolls. He becomes a troll hunter, which is a little weird because he's like a guardian of the troll, but he also hunts like bad trolls. So it's a little weird that he's a troll hunter. But it's like this, if you've watched like Slugterra or kind of any other like movie or show involving a mystical world, it's like this world that's under our world or like in the background of our world, that's like right there that you just don't see unless you have the ability to see it. It's that same idea. So he's got to protect the troll land, and the animation's great, the voice acting is great, it's really fun. So
and season 2 has been announced.
Yep, season 2's been announced, so get on it on Netflix now. You can watch season 1 and be ready for season 2. So
I've been looking forward to watching that show ever. It's been chatted about in the Slack channel for the last couple weeks, and really excited to pick it up because I think it's going to be a good one. So yet another person saying to do it. If I only had time to watch more shows.
Right. So yeah. Get on it. I don't care how I throw it to whoever wants to start talking about Disney.
So
first.
I think this is going to be a little bit of a mashup, right? Like right. Patrick and I.
I think
you know,
we have to. I do want to take like a swag segment to maybe connect on a couple pieces I'm excited about that I picked up at the park. But we can work that in a bit later. So if you just want to jump in, Andrew, we'll.
That should just be part of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. The deal is Andrew and I are very recently back from going to Disney in Orlando.
Mere hours. My plane landed just a few hours ago.
Yeah, less than 24 hours ago, we were still doing our meetup with people. And in fact, when this episode airs, we will only be 24 hours separated from us, like, boarding a plane or, like, leaving to go board a plane.
Exactly.
To leave. So, very, very recent. And the deal is, so we went to Orlando, which is Disney World. I have never been, okay? So, I'm about to turn 30, and I have never been to any of the Disney parks. You know, obviously, growing up, I, like, you know, every other kid, you know, watched all the films you watch. So I've seen
like Dirty Harry.
Yeah. Rocky Horror Picture Show. No, I've Pretty seen, Woman. I've seen, you We've know, a that. Lot of the
Dirty yeah, Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Oh, Pretty Woman. Okay, Working Girl. Sense. Pretty Woman and Working Girl were like my parents' two favorite movies. So for some reason, those were always around. No, but like I watched all the Disney films growing up, things like that, but I've just never been. So this was my first experience at Disney. And this was also the first International Art Fair at Epcot. And it was our first Orlando M of One meetup. So a lot of firsts. With that being said, I have set the stage. Andrew, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, so we don't have nearly enough time to go through all of what happened, but it was really fun to watch Patrick experience Disney for the first time. I actually got the opportunity to experience another friend of mine last week at Disneyland experience Disney for the first time, and he's 30 years old. And so it's really interesting to watch adults kind of go to Disney and see kind of firsthand what they've heard about for, you know, their whole lives. But it was really fun to be able to see that stuff. Patrick, when we started out the trip, Jay Ratner led us into – we had lunch with Jay Ratner at Rainforest Cafe, and he led us into Animal Kingdom. And so Patrick started out his Disney experience at Animal Kingdom.
That's strange to me because Animal Kingdom isn't super close to any of the other parks, right?
Right. Yeah.
So explain that. Where'd you guys meet?
Well, but we were doing the whole day there though.
No, we met at Rainforest Cafe
outside,
which is it's outside of Animal Kingdom. And we weren't going to any other parks that day. We were only staying at Animal Kingdom because we wanted to stay through the show that night.
Yeah, so there's a brand new show that debuted that day. It's called Rivers of Light, and they've been preparing for it for like years. It was supposed to launch a year ago, and they just couldn't get the technical elements of it where they needed to be to launch it. It finally launched, and it launched on the day that we were there. And so we said, well, we need to stay and see the show. And so we were at Animal Kingdom all day. So if you know Disney, that is like the most chill and mellow park to start with.
Yeah.
So it's kind of easing Patrick into the waters of it. It was also an incredibly beautiful day. It was not hot. It was sunny, and it had a nice little breeze. It was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Patrick, what was your favorite part of that day?
So number one, just going to my first park was very exciting. As far as like what ride or event, the two things that stand out to me, three things that stand out to me. One, I thought the safari was actually a blast. We ended up doing it twice. It was just a really fun experience. It's really chill. And, it wasn't at all what I was expecting, like going into my first Disney trip. Seeing Rivers of Light on opening weekend, that seems like that's very special. And so I was glad to be there for that. I think the third thing that stands out to me at the park, and I'm skipping the fact that the Tree of Life is amazing. The third thing that stands out to me at the park as far as event related is we did do the we did two shows that day. One was Nemo, yeah. One was Lion King. But it is like watching a small Broadway production. And I was just – so like as far as the actual performances, those stood out to me. Now, more overarching than that, the level of intentionality is nuts. I think I told Andrew it's like Westworld. Like if you watch the show Westworld, like you'll start to believe that, wait, but maybe they're making human decisions and maybe they're not, you know, fully robots and their attitudes are shifting. And then something will happen to remind you – nope, this is all programmed behavior. Being at Disney was like that. I kept having to remind myself, like, this is all intentional, and it's amazing, like, the depth and level of intentionality.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then we did...
you guys do Expedition Everest?
So, let me tell you a story about that. So, we met Jay at Rainforest Cafe, and Andrew, of course, wanted to do Expedition Everest because everyone would want to because it's
like
amazing.
One of my favorite rides, yeah.
But Jay had this moment of like, well, yeah.
Well, let me set the stage because I said it sucks because Patrick's not going to be able to ride all of the rides because you've mentioned before because you're so tall.
So tall.
People who are listening and don't know, Patrick and a lot like Jared Mariama learned on this trip, Patrick is very tall. Not just like he's tall, he's very tall. And so So you have, at amusement parks in the past, like Six Flags and Cedar Point and stuff, have not been able to ride the rides because there are height restrictions.
Most of those are like 6'3", 6'4". That's where they cap.
Right. Yeah. And I made the comment, it stinks that you're not going to be able to ride all of the rides. And that then jumped us into this conversation about rides and things like that. So now continue.
Yeah. So, and Jade made this comment of like, because I think I said that I do like roller coasters, and then he was like, yeah, but do you like that type of roller coaster? And it was okay, well, what does that mean? And his statement was, and he was going to leave it here. I don't know why, but his statement was, well, my brother had to get wheeled away in a wheelchair after the ride.
Yeah. And he's like, kind of, he just said that and then took a bite out of his chicken salad and then, sandwich.
Like,
and
was like, when he was like,
yep.
Like, one second.
More context, please.
So,
and, let's flip it and reverse it.
Because he was like, well, my brother thought he liked roller coasters. Anyway, so apparently, like, on the ride at some point, it's dark. The ride goes backwards.
Yeah.
And something about that was so disorienting that it just, like, messed with his brother. Like, I don't know if he was, like, super nauseous or, like, I don't know what happened. He just got, like, it messed with him a lot. And so when he got done with the ride, Jay turned around and he said his brother was just, like, white like a sheet. And, like, they had to put him in a wheelchair and take him to the medical tent.
Yikes.
Like, Everest just had an effect on him.
Well, I never had that problem.
So, because that was, like, the story before I even went to the park, then when we got to Everest, I was a bit timid.
Aww.
Yeah. It's fine. And I wasn't forceful or anything. I didn't want to, like, I wanted Patrick to enjoy his first time. And if he wasn't, didn't want to do it. But anyway, by the time the day was over,
he had been. That is one of the greatest rides ever, just for the record.
It's great. It is a great ride. And he knows that now. And he learned that by the end of the day. But by the end of the day, we had just run out of time for him to be able to ride it. So
next time.
But there will be another time. So,
And let me throw this in there. Let me say this too. I did get before I even made it to the park, I got my first, like, did my first Disney pin trade. And so this is the pin I got right here.
Okay.
And it is a yellow pin. It has red Mickey ears, and then it has a hidden silver Mickey on the bottom corner. White stripe on the side. Very plain, but it was very exciting to pick up my first pin from the park. I traded away an Adam Grayson Cinderella pin. But I like to think that I gifted someone else with a really awesome pin. So I'll pick up another one from you, Adam. I'm not trying to get rid of your stuff, but that's all. I did my first Disney pin trade as well. So all right,
did that
next, so the next day.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the next day we went to. So we were out late that night. We closed the park and then we left. Met some very fantastic Uber drivers. And then the next day we went back to the park with Adam Bien. We stayed with Adam. If you are a longtime listener of the show, you know who Adam is. If you are not, then you don't know who he is. He's a mutual friend of ours.
If you're a longtime listener, he's great. If you're new, you're not missing much.
So anyway, we were staying with him and his wife Julie works at the park. And so they took us to, Epcot for the International Festival of the Arts, where we got to meet up with Noah Elias and
he was there that weekend too. That's fun.
Yeah, so we were with Noah, and it was great. And like everything, you know, he's intense and fun and intense. So we had some great conversations with him. We saw Jared and saw his booth set up. And by the way, Noah was like killing it. His setup was right at the front of the whole deal, and he was doing just fine. And then Jared was also like, he was like right next to him. So they were both had like impeccable setups. And Jared was signing with Wonderground Gallery and he was all set up. And so we hung out with them. We went to London for lunch. We had fish and chips for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then what was your favorite part of Epcot, Patrick?
Well, number one, learning that all the people, so there's, I believe it's 8 pavilions around and they represent different parts of the world. The people that work at those pavilions, a lot of them are cultural ambassadors. So what they do is people sign up for like a year to move over, come in, you know, live at Disney and work at that pavilion. So it's, you know, these aren't people that are just putting on an accent. Like you are talking to people from that, you know, that part of the world. So I thought that was really, really cool. You know, the rides were fine, but I honestly think just walking around the lake and then seeing the basically these small versions of these towns, that was my favorite part. Besides the
test
amazing
was
butterflies.
Wait. Before we get to butterflies, test track.
Oh, test track.
Yeah, I know.
We did. Did we do that?
Was great. Yeah.
So we did.
With Mel? No.
We did Cars.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is essentially the same kind of ride, but test track. We built a car that was completely undrivable, and we somehow managed to get first place.
Yeah, so, in our group, but we were very far in the back of the pack for everybody. So it sounds like test track was your favorite part of that.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, it's new. Like the way that's new than from the last time I did test track. They have completely redone it, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the stuff with, I mean, we saw like this, like talk to
and
Charles,
like you unstrap my belt and all that. So it was funny, like that.
Yeah. Andrew and I decided to everything we rode side by side, but okay. You have to understand that some of these cars don't. I don't know that the guy building them intended for me and Andrew to ride side by side.
No, I think they were intended for an adult man and then a child.
So he buckled in a test track. I got to buckle myself in, and I pushed down and I unbuckled him, and then the car started leaving. Like it started taking off, and then we're both unbuckled.
I'm like,
it's like a whole thing.
I don't have a. It was funny,
but no test track was fine. I mean, I enjoyed the events. I liked seeing all the mocap stuff. With Crush, with that whole event, all of that was great.
That's motion capture for those people who don't speak whatever you just said.
But walking around the pavilions was my favorite. Now we did have one funny moment there. It was a very it was a side thing, but it somehow became very meaningful over the course of the trip. There was a leaf slowly, just trickling, falling through the air, kind of coming at Andrew's face. And I took it upon myself to, just keep it away from him. I didn't want it to get in his hair or whatever.
I am the man who will fight for your honor.
And so I just swatted this leaf out of the way. And Andrew got this really shocked face. It turns out it was a butterfly. And I just, slammed. I'd murdered a butterfly. And
oh,
I'm sorry.
No.
He goes, there's butterfly flying. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And he just goes, wah! Slams it down. He goes, I just saved your life. I'm like, why did you do that? He's like, that leaf was going to hit you in the face. I'm like, that was a butterfly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, my bad. So, that was Epcot. Epcot was a blast.
Wait, so, did you get desserts in France? That's the best part.
No, because the line would have taken 3 hours.
You guys, come on.
We didn't do desserts. We did I did the Mickey bar, and then we got a Dole Whip when we were at, we did a Dole Whip at Magic Kingdom. So
good.
Right. But we didn't do the desserts in
we
France.
Did
although
several
it,
good things.
It all looked
doesn't
amazing.
Sound like it so far.
So Epcot, we walked around. There's some incredible art there. We got to talk
soaring?
To some amazing. The wait was too long.
Oh
we couldn't
gosh,
because we had to. We had to make it to Magic Kingdom that day, so we couldn't stand there for 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
But we got to meet some incredible artists, and hopefully some of them are going
to
filter
we
into the show in the
an
future.
Imagineer.
Some,
yep, got yeah.
yeah
we, it's,
incredible
it was great.
Stuff.
It was great.
So from that, we actually left there to go to Magic Kingdom. So we went to Magic Kingdom, took the monorail in. And so that
Patrick's
I could ride the
first
monorail.
Monorail experience.
Love it.
Turns out he's about 3 inches too short, too tall for the monorail.
Really?
So he's standing with his head.
This.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Have we mentioned how tall Patrick is yet in this episode?
Yeah. So anyway, so we did Magic Kingdom. Now it was raining when we got to Magic Kingdom, which
That's
so this
Florida.
Was a holiday. This was a holiday weekend, so I don't know if the crowds were normal or if the crowds were larger because it was holiday. I've never been.
No, it was pretty. I mean, that's pretty normal.
But I was hoping that the rain would move. The rain didn't affect anybody. It seemingly no one cared, and so we went to Magic Kingdom raining. Went down Main Street. Obviously, took some pictures in front of the castle, and then we immediately went to Seven Dwarfs because it's a new ride that Andrew hasn't been on because I think it's from within the last few years.
It's in the last. Yeah, it's been since I've moved away from Florida, so it's been in the last 4 years.
Yeah. So we did that, but the wait for that was almost 2.5 hours. So we spent a large part of our day initially standing in that line. Now, they do some cool stuff in the queue to kind of like try to, you know, make you forget about the fact that it is an incredibly long wait.
Yeah.
It was still an incredibly long wait, but we met this amazing woman named Sydney. Now, so if you ever go like your fast pass line, at some point you merge with the fast pass line.
Yeah.
And there is someone there that's like handling that. And the girl that was handling that was Sydney from Snailville, Georgia, because it's on her name tag. And
that's a common thing. I don't know if you picked up on that. Every Disney cast member has on their name tags has where they're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a okay. I just didn't know if you picked up on that, like as a generalization.
I'm from Georgia, but I don't know that I've been to Snailville, or if I have, it's just, you know, I was passing through. But anyway, started talking to her, and long story short, we ended up getting fast passes for the ride. So, you know, we stood in line for 2.5 hours. We got to ride the ride. It was a great experience. You know, probably my favorite ride I rode the entire weekend as far as that goes. But then we had the fast passes so we could come back and do it again and not have to stand in 2.5 hour long line. So from that point, the day started really picking up.
Yeah. So we did that, and then we did the Haunted Mansion.
Great.
Later, we did
Pirates.
Great.
Pirates of the Caribbean. We did.
We redid. Country Bear,
Country Bear Jamboree.
Jamboree is like, that's like one of my top three highlights from the weekend, by the way.
Cool.
Like,
did you guys do the boat?
It was like,
cruise?
It was as if the Hill family was up on stage wearing bear outfits singing.
It was very comfortable. By the way, that song, Blood on the Saddle, that's like the next to last song in the Jamboree, that was sung by John Ritter's dad.
Okay.
No way. That's
Tex
awesome.
Tex Ritter. Just side note. But yeah, the Jamboree was
Big
a lot
L.
of fun.
Too
we
soon,
went
man.
Back. We went back and we rode, we did the minecart again, which at night, it's actually better, I think, because when they do the photography, there's three different places they take pictures, but when they turn on the lights to do it, you can't see anything, like it blinds you, so then you're like blindly going through these like turns and twists and stuff. It adds another level, so do it at night. And then we got to see the whole, the fire wishes, which is the whole firework display out in front of the castle.
Sure.
So we saw wishes as well. So
which is going away. It's going away in May. So it was good that he got the opportunity to see that.
Nice.
Yeah. So we ended up getting a lot in. Really great day. I think by the time we made it, we took the ferry back in. By the time we made it out, we had logged 15 miles of walking.
Yeah.
Between Friday and Saturday.
Parks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now moving to Sunday morning, we did breakfast with Jared and John. Great time.
Jared and John.
Oh, I mean, I don't think John was there. Actually, Jared and Noah. I don't know where that came from. We did breakfast with Jared and Noah. It was a great experience. And that's where I got another pin.
Okay.
So we went over to, they had a big pin store there, and they have some exclusive pins you can only get if you're like a D23 member or if you're like the Chase Disney card member.
Okay.
And I saw an exclusive pin I got from McKinsey. So it is a Beauty and the Beast pin, and like they move. So like they dance around the ballroom. It's like the Beauty and the Beast well, so anyway, that was, it was exciting to get my like second little piece. But the cool thing is after that, we went to Wonderground, which is, I guess, a very small version compared to what's at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And, while we were there with Jared. We went to see what he had in his booth and in his booth, what they had there and that kind of stuff. And, two women walked up who actually they came to Disney that day so they could go to, see Jared at the festival and get him to sign a hipster Mickey they had.
Cool.
But we were there with Jared, so they came up, and so we got to stand there while he signed for them, and it was just really cool.
It was really
cute.
It was fun. Yeah. It was endearing because the lady was like shaking. She's like, "I'm shaking right now." And afterwards, we got to kind of debrief with Jared about what that meant to him, and if he ever gets used to that, or if that's still weird to him. And it was a cool opportunity to be a part of that. So
sweet. Yeah,
it was good.
So other than that, the last thing is the meetup, and which was an exciting time. So the meetup is what we've been advertising. You've seen it. It's gone out on our Instagram. We talked about it on the show. It's just open to everyone, whoever wanted to come out. And I think we had either 12 or 14 people all together.
Yeah.
Majority of them actually being people that work at Disney. I think we had a Disney sketch artist. We had an actor. You know, obviously, like, Jared is there, does stuff with Wonderground. Jay is there.
We had a DDG employee.
Cool.
So somebody who does, yeah. He did, it's funny, he did a bag, his very first piece of merchandise he ever did that was actually in the parks, and Jared had bought it earlier that day and brought it with him, and when he walked in, like, the guy's name is Tyler, was just flipping out that Jared had bought this bag, and this is his first piece of merchandise that's been out there. And then Jared had him sign it, had Tyler sign it.
That's fun.
And so, it was great. It was a great meetup. Yeah. It was a ton of fun. Tyler, got to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't remember everybody's names, but I Tyler, Brandon, Andy, obviously Jay and Jared. We were there. Shauna,
Mike,
and then Andy's wife, and I can't remember her name right now. I feel really bad right now. But yeah, it was a super great group of people. So we actually ended up, we met at around 6 o'clock, and when we left at 11:30,
did you say Matt Gallagher? Did you say Matt?
Oh, yeah, Design-O-Matt. So he's not in the picture because he left before he took the picture, and so I left him out. I'm sorry, Matt. Matt Gallagher, a.k.a. Ted Allen. and, like, we were there for 4.5 hours. Did we leave at 10:30? Is that what time we left?
We left at 10:45, so and three-quarter hours.
So we left in, and there were still, like, 5 people in there talking when we left. So, like, it was – we were there a while – but super great time, and Cliff did a great job serving, bringing drinks, bringing bread.
He would kind of stand, like, our server would kind of stand off to the side and just kind of half pretend like he wasn't listening, but was totally enamored in the conversations that were happening. Because he's like, after we were leaving, I said, thanks so much, Cliff, that you did great. And he said, I learned so much about, like, animation, and I learned about Disney stuff. Like, it was fun. So yeah, next time we do one of those things, make sure if you're in the area that you come out. It was a blasty blast, and you know, some of those people may find their way on the show in the coming weeks and months. So you never know what might happen. So super fun. Okay, so that was our Disney trip. That was a little bit of an extended time. That's fine, because now it's time for Master Categories.
The Askew is the latest limited edition confidant from Baron Fig. This book was designed in collaboration with the writer-designer Debbie Millman, and it features all the same features as the confidant. It has the lay flat design, the quality paper, the perforated pages in the back. But it's got one big difference, and that's the unruly pages, as they've called it. So yeah. Debbie Millman actually hand-drew all of the lines in this ruled notebook.
That's the crazy part. All of them.
I know. It's super fun.
And some of them are pretty straight, like what you'd expect, but some are like, it looks like she shut her eyes and just touched the pen to paper and just started scribbling five minutes. It's hilarious. But I think what I love about this notebook, beyond the uniqueness of the design, is the fact that the pages become part of the story. Like, when you're drawing something, or you're doodling, or you're writing, then you're incorporating the lines in what you're doing. It's no longer like background to whatever you're writing in your notebook. It's inspiring, it's fun, and it's a notebook that you're going to want to grab before you start your day. So we've made it really easy for you to get one of these. If you're on our website, just click on one of the Askew banners that you'll see, or just go to mofonepodcast.com/Baron Fig, and you can get info and grab one there.
That's exactly right. They're super fun. I have one, and the bright blue that they're printed, they're a beautiful book. Anyway. The Master Categories every week are when we talk about the categories we drew the week before, and last week, we all managed to get our own category, so sure give a did. Big round of applause for that.
Thank you, 8 Beats Girl.
Yeah, he freaking killed it.
Kevin.
He was a did blast to talk to
like
as well.
Like a champ. So I'm going to let Patrick, since you finished us off, just start us off on this one.
Absolutely. So here's the big thing. Academy Awards are coming up. They are this weekend. And it's what you should be watching. And so I'm just going to run through some of my favorite films of the year. And, you know, maybe a loose idea of my predictions, but most of these films I have got a chance to see, or we have talked on the show by now. There are some I haven't, and so I apologize for that. But running through some of the big categories, obviously Best Picture is the big one. The films up this year are La La Land, Arrival we all went and saw together. Yep. We went when we were in Costa Mesa.
Well, me and Patrick went. Andrew was not there.
Lion, which I have not had a chance to see, Hell or High Water, which is honestly, that's one of my favorite films of the year, but it came out it came out 6 months ago. Hidden Figures, very good film. Moonlight was the other one I didn't get a chance to see, but I've heard great things. Hacksaw Ridge, again, another film I super enjoyed. Fences, I don't remember if I talked about Fences on the show. But incredible performances, very strong. Plays a little bit more like a theater performance than necessarily like a motion picture, but still obviously an incredible film. And then Manchester by the Sea, which has one of my favorite actors in Casey Affleck. So for Best Picture, my opinion on it all is that I believe it's going to come down to Moonlight and La La Land. Initially, I would have said La La Land was my pick. However, it seems like it has been getting some backlash lately. And so I believe that it will go to Moonlight personally. My pick, I think, would be La La Land. However, I believe it will go to Moonlight. That is my prediction. For Best Actor, Andrew Garfield from Hacksaw Ridge, and he did a fabulous job. I don't know how you could have cast that role any better. Ryan Gosling for La La Land, you know, obviously, it's freaking Ryan Gosling. Denzel Washington in Fences, he had an incredible performance, and actually one that really hit home with me because there's, I think, pieces of it that I could kind of see in, and some people are going to read way too much into this and think it's really dark. I promise it's not this dark, but there are pieces of it I can see in, like, my relationship with my dad, which I think make it even hit home more. So Denzel Washington in Fences, Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea, and then Viggo Mortensen from Captain Fantastic. You know, I personally, of the movies that I've seen, I think Denzel had an incredibly strong performance. I don't remember the last time that I believe he had a performance this good, but Casey Affleck is who picked up the Golden Globe, and so I think I'm split on these. My guess is that it'll go to Casey Affleck, but again, I did love Denzel's performance, and if you haven't seen Fences, go see it just for that, if nothing else. Not to mention that, hold on. Oh, she's not. Well, never mind. It doesn't matter. All the performances on Fences are amazing, not just Denzel's, but it's super strong. So, best actress is Emma Stone, La La Land, Isabelle Huppert from Elle, Ruth Negga from Loving, Meryl Streep from Florence Foster Jenkins, Natalie Portman from Jackie. Here's the problem. I've seen like none of these films. I've seen La La Land, and literally I've seen none of the other films here. So it would be ridiculous for me to say what I think is going to happen because I have no idea. So good luck, best actresses. And apparently I should see more films with strong female leads because obviously that's missing. And then the final one I'll talk about is Best Director. So that's up against Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge, Barry Jenkins for Moonlight, Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea, Denis Villeneuve for Arrival, and Damien Chazelle for La La Land. This is tough. And I don't, off the top of your head, Luke, Andrew, do either of y'all have a pick for Best Director?
I mean,
I have only, I've not seen enough of the film, so I would just say La La Land.
I haven't seen any of them either. I will say that I've heard the most good about Lonergan with Manchester by the Sea. So,
Absolutely, I've heard a lot of good. I just for the sake of mixing it up and just no, just yeah, I would actually love to see Mel Gibson take it for Hacksaw Ridge. So, but we'll see. I don't know that that'll be the case, but that's what I would like to see happen. So I don't know that that is a prediction as much as a wish. But there we go. So a lot of great films. If you haven't seen kind of those, I mean, I think even just going through those kind of primary categories, it's easy to see the string of films that are really strong this year.
Yeah.
They're all incredible films. I mean, this to me, this has been a really great year. The film that I think is going to get the least love, unfortunately, is Hell or High Water. I think that's probably going to be the most underrated film going into the awards. I don't know that I expect it to walk away with anything, but that is absolutely in my top three of films I saw for the year. I thought incredible performances all around, I think the timing of it probably hurt it a lot because it was like a midsummer film, which is, you know, it came out in August, which is not really what I think you would normally see for award season. Typically, it'd be pushed later in the year.
Sure.
But I just love Ben Foster so much. I love Jeff Bridges so much. Chris Pine killed it. So if there's one film that I could recommend that from this list you probably haven't seen, it's Hell or High Water. And I think that's the one that's going to get overlooked. So please go check it out. But yep. So that is that's it. Oscars this weekend. Give it a look. Let's see how wrong I got it. And Luke, you should jump in. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a game, but I want to tag on real quick that I think probably Kubo will take it on animated feature. So
I feel pretty confident.
It's between
that
and Zootopia. I don't think Moana did enough to warrant it, but I think it'll be Kubo. So that's my
prediction. All right, go overlooking animated films. Guys, I'm going to get better, I promise.
It's like,
I'm convicted personally about it, but
it's
anyway.
We have to, honestly, though, we have to root for Kubo because that's our boy Josh.
Yeah.
So we got to, we got to root for the home team.
So I'm talking about a deck building game from Rio Grande Games. They make a ton of games, and a lot of them are probably ones that you've seen but maybe not played. But my experience with their games is they're fantastic. Every single one I've played has been good. And I'm going to talk about one that's my favorite of just any game in general. It's called Dominion. And it's a deck building game. And the whole premise is you have kind of the starting. If you buy the base game, it comes with like 15 different categories. And the whole point of the game is to gain victory points. The most victory points at the end of the game, you win the game. And you do it by building a card deck. So you use gold that you have in your hand to buy cards, and then as you empty your draw deck, you shuffle new cards back in. And so by the end of the game, you go from a deck of 7 cards to a deck of like 30 to 40 cards. And you're just playing, and it's an action economy and buying game. So you'll play cards that'll let you do 2 extra actions, or draw 2 extra cards from your draw deck, or buy 2 things instead of 1. And there's a lot of different strategy on how you can gain different victory points. That's basically it. But there are expansions, too, that add a whole level of complexity and different types. So this game is set in, like, medieval times. And so you have things like a moat card and a market and a festival and a throne room and all this different stuff. And then it adds another set, adds, like, alchemy and, like, scrying stones and a golem. And there's, like, a witch and a thief and all this kind of stuff, and all these cards do different things, and it's a game for 4 people. You can play with 5 in the base game, but there are expansions that go up to 5 and 6 players. It's really fast paced. The first time you learn it, it'll probably be a little slow for you, but once you learn how to play, you learn how to get your action economy down and start laying cards, and it goes really fast. And for game nights lately, we've been playing that at least once every game night. And it is super duper fun. So if you guys haven't played it, pick up Dominion, base set.
It's not a new game by any stretch.
No. It is old. Yep. It's been out for a while.
And I've seen it. Like, I, for some reason, had it in my mind I'd played it before because I've seen the box around so much.
Yeah.
And I was just convinced I'd played the game.
Yep.
I have not. And now I feel bad that I've managed to, like, miss it this whole
time. Well, so here's the thing. So here's my thing with it. I played it. The gameplay is fun. I can't get past the art style. It needs to be redesigned, in my opinion, like, because the gameplay itself is great. The mechanic of it is great. The playability of it is great. Everything is great about it, but the branding.
I think the actual cards themselves are fine. I think it's the box design. It doesn't make you want to.
The box is terrible. Yeah. No, the logo looks like something that was done.
Just update the logo.
Yeah. I think if they did a redesign on the box, I think the cards are fine. The card design is fine. Those are okay. Yeah.
I would choose different font work for the cards, just something a little bit cleaner, but that's fine.
But
but the game itself is fun.
Yeah. So if you,
I will probably never buy it because I don't want it sitting on my shelf junking it up.
So yeah, if you see it, give it a chance. I mean, these are the same. It's the same company that brought you Carcassonne and Puerto Rico and Power Grid. I mean, these are all games that if you look at like top games in Board Game Geek, they're all hitting there. So they know what they're doing when they're making games. But yeah, so pick up Dominion. It's super duper fun.
Okay, I'm gonna round us out here at the end. It's gonna be a pretty quick one, but last week I alluded to an artist whose work I picked up at Wonderground Gallery, and I said I didn't want to talk about him then because his work was just too good to try to jam it into and around the table. So I'm going to give you a little bit more of an expanded look at it now. So the artist that I'm talking about, his name is Joey Chu. I believe it's Chu. It's C-H-O-U. I'm fairly confident it's Chu. If it's not, I'm very sorry, but I'm pretty sure it's Chu. But his work is kind of blowing up right now. He's not new to the Disney sphere at all. His work is very Disney-centric. It kind of hits, if you want a quick idea, it kind of hits between an Andrew Kolb and an Adam Grayson kind of look with like a Mary Blair. That's the style.
That's a really good description.
Thank you. His work is,
but it's really good.
It's a really good description. His work is phenomenal. So it's got very much the hand kind of hand painted. It's not hand painted. I'm sure it's all completely digital. But it's got kind of the hand painted, simple shapes, but lots of simple shapes. So it ends up being a very complex, and comprehensive image, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Stuff is a little bit off kilter. It's not squared up and everything. It feels very hand done. It almost feels like something you'd see at like a craft fair, like that kind of art style. But just, you know, done for Disney. So I'm just going to walk through a couple of the pieces that I love. And my goal would be to have this guy on the show at some point. I'm fairly confident Jared knows him, or at least knows of him enough to be able to connect us, because it's when you walk into Wonderground Gallery, there's kind of there's Jared's half of the store. And then you got kind of Joey on the other half right now. So at least the one in Florida. So the pieces that I picked up for our house are Meet You at Main Street Station, and it's Mickey and Minnie sitting on a picnic, mm-hmm. like a picnic blanket in front of the Main Street Station at Disneyland, which is, of course, if you're familiar with Disney, it's the train station right at the very front gate before you even see the castle.
It's like a hill.
No, it's not. Yeah, it definitely is more of a pitch, but this is exaggerated. The other piece that I got, because we love the film Up, is this piece called An Unlikely Adventure.
Ooh.
And there you go. That's better. It's not all glared off.
Yeah.
But it's the Up house flying with the kid, and I can't remember his name right now, but he's hanging from the hose, trying to pet the special bird. And you've got, Doug, the dog down in the corner, and you see the waterfall in the background. It's just, there's nothing like crazy about it. It's not like it's so overtly, you know, we talked to Tracy Ching a couple weeks ago. It's not that at all. It's like kind of the antithesis of that. It seems very streamlined, very kind of, lowest common denominator in terms of what shapes, but the textures and colors that he uses just draw me into this piece much.
Absolutely.
And if you go to his website, it's joeyart.tumblr.com. You will see piece after piece after piece that he just is killing it. He did a piece for Kubo back in October, which is insane. It looks like what Mary Blair would have done if she was around when Kubo was here. He did a piece for the celebration of Tokyo. Actually, that's the episode cool, the artwork that you're looking at. Yeah, the mural. The episode artwork you're looking at for today's episode is a piece of that mural. I thought it was very fitting, given that a large portion of this episode was dedicated to Patrick's first time at Disney. So just go check out the website, joeyart.tumblr.com, and then go pick up some of the work, because it's just so good. I don't know how else to describe it, but this kind of stuff gets me jazzed, because it shows both spectrums of the art field. You can look at somebody like a Tracy Ching or a Kevin Tong or like an Aaron Horky or some of these artists who put like every blade of grass has an intentionality to it and every whatever. And then you get to look at these where you're like, okay, I can take these 15 shapes and make something that captures my heart and my imagination and kicks me back to like a nostalgic feeling. And so it reminds you that art is kind of on a spectrum. So anyway, that's my pitch for that. And hopefully at some point we will be able to talk to Joey. That's it for our master categories, which means that's it for this episode.
We did it.
Yeah, you can find us on mf1podcast.com, where you can find show notes and links to the stuff we talked about. You can also sign up for our Slack channel on there. It's a good time. We added several people to our Slack channel this week because of the meetup. There are so many incredibly talented people in there. You should be one of them. So jump on there. You can also support us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/mofonepodcast. You can become a patron for as little as $1. $5 gets you some of the bonus features, like a blooper episode, which is always a good time. So go on there, help support us if you like what you hear and want to see us continue to do more and more. Speaking of doing more and more, keep checking out the website. We continue to add new elements to it, and we keep refining it. And if you haven't been there in a little while, it's gotten an entirely new facelift.
Yeah, it's got a new face look to it, for sure.
His look of his face is better. But check out the website. It's incredible. Patrick's done a really great job of kind of shifting and changing our focus on there, and it's great. And what else? Oh, iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes. When you do that, it makes it really easy. We come to you twice a week, and you don't have to do anything. You just have to pick up your phone and listen every Tuesday and Friday. But when you do that, we ask you to do one thing for us. Just rate and review the show. It takes just a few minutes of your time, and it is incredibly helpful for us, more than we can probably express. So am I missing anything?
No.
Oh, social media. Yeah, just look up MF1 Podcast. We're on all the socials. But Instagram, we do a lot of contests and things on there, and I believe one is coming up very, very soon with some of our previous guests. Yes, so just do that. I don't know where I was going to go with there. Well, let's just go. Let's leave this episode.
No, wait. We have one more. You mentioned contests, and we have a winner of a contest that we never announced.
Okay.
It was our sorry, I was letting the anticipation build. You're welcome. It was our Make Comic Sans Cool Again.
Oh yeah,
contest, and we never announced the winner of that. And the winner of that is, I think, Mrs. Long Dog Design. Wait, did we say Taylor Ackerman? Did I get that right or wrong? Yeah. Yes, Taylor Ackerman.
I mean, it looks right to me, so I would say yeah.
I was just making sure I didn't misspeak. So it's Long Dog Design. Super cool piece. It's like it's a rocket with like a dog inside of it, like in space, and it says Space Snoopy. And super, super cool piece. So anyway,
and Comic Sans used in a non-ironic way, and it looks cool. Like,
yeah,
you did it
exactly.
You made it happen. So
you made it.
Congratulations.
So we are gonna, Yeah, Taylor, we are going to get some Jetpacks artwork your way. We'll reach out to you, but yeah, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so good. And if you want to see the piece, you can look at our website for the piece that's going to be on there. Okay, so now I think all business accounted for.
Yes,
we're all good.
Yes.
Squared away. You can find us at M of One Podcast. I'm at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's. That's Patrick at the Great Cabins.
The Great Patsby with two A's.
That's it. I wanted to say The Great Gatsby, and then I realized that's not it.
And I'm Luke Gall on Instagram and Twitter.
That's how you do it. Okay, that's it for this episode. We're out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
From the happiest place on earth. Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Part one this week, we talk about the Oscars. Dominion? That's how
yep.
you say it.
Yep.
And Dominion.
Part one this week, we talk about the Oscars. Dominion. That word is weird to me. Okay.